Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his content. Chris, I'll start not with the angry fan bases like Ohio State and Florida State, etc. I'll start with Alabama, Florida, and Jason. I'll go ahead and copy his question on Twitter. Ask Chris what he expects the Gators to do to attack Bama on offense, and will it be enough?
Well, I think they're going to – certainly they have to. This is the way their offense is built. They're going to have to work the run game with the quarterbacks. They're going to you've got to force Alabama to defend an extra gap, and that's what you can do with the run game. And if you can get Alabama out of the split safeties that they like to play, then, you know, maybe you can get some one-on-one on the outside when you pull the ball down. So I would expect Dan to work the quarterbacks in the run game to set up some big play opportunities and see if they can hit it big. They're going to have to do that. But you got to get Alabama misaligned somehow. Well, how do you really do that? You've got to work tempo a little bit. You've got to work, again, the quarterback in the run game, which in the past has given them some troubles. You know, is it going to be enough? I doubt it. I don't think so. That's what they would do there. And the question wasn't on that. But on the other side is, you know, stopping Alabama, which is going to be a challenge as well, too. And there's, you know, on film, there's some improvement in the defensive interior by Florida, but I don't know that it's enough there. But it's going to be tough. This is a, you know, and quite frankly, Alabama on tape hasn't played their best game. They really haven't. I mean, no one has, you know, and watching all the tape, it's, you know, a little sloppy on the offensive line. But my understanding, talking with a couple of the coaches late last night, is they've had a really good week of practice. They seem really focused. It's the best week of practice they've had, and probably not a surprise, considering it's two games in. They've had enough practices to build upon. It's a good conference opponent on the road, so on and so forth. But it'll be a tough challenge for – I don't know that Florida can beat Alabama. Alabama will have to play off their game probably by a significant margin, and they don't normally do that, but it has happened. And I've been asked few times yesterday about, could this be 2010? Could this be 2010? Well, it always is that potential, but I wouldn't count on it.
And with Anthony Richardson's hamstring, they're saying he's a go, but we don't really know what level he'll be. Now, if he's himself, he's dangerous and explosive, as we have seen, but I don't know if Dan's playing mind games there, Chris, or if it's just legit. He's a go.
Well, I think they know they need to have both of them because of Richardson's injury, and I think he understands and that they're probably going to need both of them because they run the football so much that there's an injury factor there. You want to keep Emory Jones engaged. They can run the similar they run the same offense. Now, one does certain things a little bit better in the pass game, and you know, Richardson's just a bigger guy. He and KJ Jefferson really, you see reminiscing of what Auburn did with some of the Cam Newton stuff design-wise. Big guys that can really run. And so it's exciting to watch. And he has a little bit more ability to be able to see the field from the pocket when they pull it down on some of the RPOs, whereas Emory Jones got to be outside the pocket a little bit more. And so his vision is a little impaired from a passing game standpoint, which often makes him a little bit late. And he's neither one of them are overly accurate. But of the two, Richardson's got a little bit of an advantage there in the passing game. So I think they want both engaged because they need probably both of them, and both of them can be a very effective runners. And I've pointed this out. I think at some point it wouldn't surprise me if Richardson's completely healthy, wins the job, that you won't see Emory Jones in a package that where both are playing on the same field. Maybe not regularly, but at least at times, because he forces you to have to play an extra gap as a runner. And if he's on the field and you've got the other quarterback, Anthony Richardson, on the field, now you're really having to overplay the run. So I think Dan gets it, and he understands what he has and what he doesn't have, and he does a really good job of kind of parceling the two and making the most out of it.
Chris, for the audience, your assessment of what's happening at Southern Cal.
Well, it has been something that's been coming for a while. I think one of the things that I don't know how many people knew a lot about, but there was an extension. It's a private school, so not a lot of people knew that Len Swan gave him an extension, which was a lot of money that was owed, and they have money and can raise it. It was, apparently the times and other issues going on campus made it difficult for them, I guess, to make the move. This is something that's been coming for a while. This has been a team that's been undercoached for some time. I mean, going back to Sam Darnold and how he pulled them out of it sometimes and had to throw a bunch of interceptions, but big plays. What I dislike the most about USC under Clay, and I love Clay and I love his dad, think the world of him, the identity of the program changed to a softer approach. Air Raid USC is about, that's to me as a pure football guy, like scratching your fingernails on a chalkboard. Nothing would irritate me more than that. That is blasphemous. This is a team in a program that's not adjusted to the modern-day recruiting cycle as well. So they lost that part of it. They've lost a lot of kids to Oregon and others outside the country that they should have had. But their design and their development of the number of quality players that they do have that weren't developed was very, very frustrating. Defensively, they've been poorly coached as well, very gimmicky. You know, you think that you're looking at a program that is a try-hard program that's got to gimmick it up because they don't really have any resources or history or recruiting base. That's USC. So it's just what you hope for them is that an athletic director that has experience in coaching searches and hiring, that they'll do a better job than just going out and having Tommy Trojan hiring, somebody that has some sort of a connection in the way that they do it. So it's going to be interesting, but that's the big part. I did much more detail on the Landry Football Podcast. It actually dropped this morning that I went into how all this has played out over time. And it'll be interesting to see if this coaching search is going to be better off than the ones of the past.
Ohio State's problems, Chris, address them. Start with the defense.
Yeah, well, that's where the biggest problems are. They're playing a lot of man. From a simplification standpoint, it's understandable. And with a talent-based standpoint, it's understandable. The problem is not what they're playing, but how they're playing it. I think they certainly would be wise to mix in some zone looks where they can peek into the quarterback and have better vision on the play. But, again, it's how they're playing it. Technique-wise, they were gassed by the outside zone all game. I mean, everything, the counters, everything attacked the outside zone, and they failed to set the edge the entire day. In fact, the defensive ends were crashing inside the entire game. It just doesn't, compute. The inability to see it, to recognize it, that's the biggest concern is apparently, you're either not teaching it, they're not understanding it. I mean, I think there's issues there that are going unchecked that are significant. And they were a problem against Minnesota. Minnesota ran the football very effectively in a different way, but they ran a little more power, but they were still effective, mainly because the run fits by the linebacker were poor and the setting of the edge was poor. And that's fundamental flaws that are, if not fixed, are transferable regardless who you play against. Now, the ability to give up big plays are greater when you have a team that has more explosive capabilities. So Oregon just simply dominated them. Now, offensively, I don't think the most talented offensive line in college football is playing like the most talented offensive line in football right now. But the offense is further along and are making more progress, particularly with the young quarterback. But there's some breakdowns there too. It's off over there. It's off, but it was off against Minnesota, and certainly it was in the championship game last year. But, you know, I think people kind of, well, it's Alabama, it's the championship, that just happens. And the problems are consistent. They obviously were not addressed properly, and so here we are. And this is a team that, quite frankly, should not lose a game the rest of the way relative to who they play in their league. They're more talented, and maybe won't. I think there's still a good chance they run the table. But if they continue to make these type of errors, somebody's going to get them. Somebody else is going to get them and going to make this a, you know, a two-loss season, which would be, you know, obviously for them, just completely unacceptable and unforeseen.
Chris, have about a minute before the break, and I don't know if you can address this in that amount of time. Rod of Buckeye in Texas, ask Chris what is the better quarterback rating. He asks, would it be better to comprehend for people if the top rating was simply 100? Can you address that in a minute?
Oh, the quarterback rating? Yeah. Well, the quarterback rating is not something that I utilize a lot. It's a complicated formula, but it's inaccurate on a lot of ways. Here's what you really know, have to how you evaluate quarterbacks and not the rating. Yes, it would be, because you don't know if it's 126 is perfect. Well, you think it's 110. Man, that's really good. Yeah, it would be, but that's a flawed system. What's really important is you have to chart all the throws, and you have to grade it on did the quarterback make the right read, did he get the ball out on time, and did he get it where it was supposed to be. If it's dropped, it's not on him. If it's a bad throw and it's caught, that is on him, and it's a negative. And that's where it's called adjusted completion percentage, or what I call accuracy percentage. So those things are really important and I think get lost, and they're far more important than, you know, quarterback rating.
More Chris Landry as we continue. We'll get you all of his information, all his shows, all the NFL news, college. It's all encompassing. If you're into football, that's where you want to be. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We watch traffic volume increase now down the interstate here on 40 westbound through Mount Juliet. All that traffic leaving Wilson County headed towards Nashville. It's pretty busy now on 65 southbound as you make your way there past Trinity Lane. A couple of new wrecks out in the last few minutes. Anderson Lane at Gallatin Pike. Murphy Road at West End and Midtown. They had traffic tied up right at that intersection. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Log on today, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
If you have roofing, siding, or gutter needs, A&R Roofing is your one-stop solution. A&R Roofing combines the small-town values you trust with the big-league quality required to get the job done right. If you have an old roof that needs replacing or one that has storm damage, A&R Roofing can provide you with a free inspection. They specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofing, and custom copper roofing. A&R Roofing can also take care of your siding needs, whether it's vinyl siding, hardy board, or board and batten. Call Bob at A&R Roofing, 615-389-1916.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a hearty steak and eggs and deviled egg toast, or you can lunch on smoked prime rib or shrimp and grits. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're in the Windy City as the Chicago Bears defend their home turf against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals bring Joe Burrow and a trio of targets in Higgins, Boyd, and Chase.
Ball's caught inside the five. Touchdown, Cincinnati!
The Bears have Andy Dalton facing his old team and Khalil Mack bringing the heat on defense. It's the Bengals at the Bears this Sunday on Sports USA.
Pre-game coverage starts at 11:30 live on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, your thoughts on the Penn State-Auburn game?
You know, I think this game might be a little better than people might think. I think Penn State's playing pretty well. Couldn't run the football against Wisconsin. They certainly were more balanced against Ball State and did a much better job. They're getting more out of that offense. I think they've got, at least to this point, Sean Clifford thinking a little bit more clearly, protecting the ball. They're setting things up for passing game shots. They got enough chunk plays against Wisconsin to pull it out. And you know what? They've really been sound on defense. They're playing very well. I like, you know, I've always been, it's a mixed bag with James Franklin, right? I mean, he's a delegator and he's got to have his assistants right because he's not a great X's and O guy. And so far, this is working. I think at home, they look like a little bit more explosive. Let me say this. Watched Auburn, and people will say, well, you can't learn anything about when you play, you know, two really bad teams, as Auburn has. You can learn things. It's what is transferable is assignment, effort, technique, execution, effort. Those things, it doesn't matter who you play against. If you do those things well, they're transferable. What is not transferable is the result. If you a technique, if you sometimes miss assignments, maybe you're playing a team one week that can't take advantage of it. Another week against a really good opponent, they can. So people, as always, and I understand it, they just get focused on the result. The result is not what matters. It's the process because the process creates the result. They are, as Auburn teams, a much better coach team. You can see their protections are more, pass protections are more sound. There's a cleaner pocket. There's outlet options that never existed in Gus's offense where it was downhill, power spread, and we're going to make chunk throws deep, and we have no pass protection options, no clean pocket, and the quarterback's running, and you have no way to get rid of the football because everybody's running a deep route, so it's Katie barred the door. So a lot more sounder system. You know, but we will see. I think that this is going to be a bigger challenge. You're blocking better people. You are having to get open against better people. And on the defensive side, I think you're going to have a challenge. But I think this is actually a game in the fourth quarter. I really do. I'd be surprised if it's a decisive game. And I think Auburn will have a chance to win it. I do favor Penn State at home. Penn State should win the game in this environment, in this situation, with their experience level, with the coaches that they've had, and the players that they've had, a little bit more time to work their system than Auburn has. But I'm impressed, at least what I've seen out of Brian and his staff's coaching.
America 1970 down in Georgia says, Bill, ask Chris, does he see the ACC expanding its footprint soon?
I don't. Other than Notre Dame, I don't see it. I don't get the sense that West Virginia, while it has been talked about a lot in the media, that they see as a fit. And I don't know where they go. They're not, you know, I don't get a sense, for example, that they could lure a Maryland back or get a Penn State, for example. You know, that would be something, particularly Penn State, that if I were the ACC, I'd like to do. I don't think that is something that either that Penn State would want to do, but who knows. I wouldn't rule anything out, but a lot of the movement, you know, we knew that Texas and Oklahoma was looking for a while. I think now it's reactionary to that. Obviously, the Big 12 made their move, but I don't see where the, you know, it's not like there's a whole lot there to go get. You're going to have to go get somebody from the Big 10. You're not going to get somebody from the Pac-12. It's Notre Dame or somebody from the Big 10. I mean, so go through it, see what's real, see what the contract says. See, I don't really know that I see anything there, but I wouldn't rule anything out at some point. We'll see.
Alan in Tampa, ask Chris if he thinks Norvell is the right guy to turn around Florida State.
I have thought that. I do think that. I think we're going to see a lot in the next few weeks. And I'm not saying how many games they win, but how they play. I think that the difference, and people will say, well, this is the same thing that happened with Willie Taggart. The difference was when there were breakdowns there, there were a lot of guys in that locker room that were fractured, that were doing their own thing. I don't think that's happened. I have no sense at all. In fact, I sense the exact opposite, that this team's together, they're believing in it, and they're more team-oriented, they're more singular-minded of focus. Can't make those type of mistakes. The whole game, I know the final plays the storyline, but when I broke down the tape, the biggest storyline was the drops. My God, what a game. I mean, that probably could have had 30 points in that game. They left so many plays on the field. And you have to finish it out with a dumb play at the end that was not prepared for correctly, not called correctly, whatever, coaching it or allowing it to happen. So those were mistakes. The difference is I don't sense any fracturing in the foundation. So I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to get better. I don't know it like anyone else. You have to see it. But he'll get another year. I don't, unless there's that fracturing. That's what got Willie. It wasn't the losses. It's how they lost and how it was going on behind the curtains. I'm not seeing the same thing now. So I'm much more encouraged than the previous administration or the previous staff. So we'll see.
Hoptown boy up in Kentucky. Bill, ask Chris his thoughts on Kentucky after the Missouri game.
Look, that's a game. That was not a clean game by Kentucky. That game felt like a 17-point win over Missouri. That's how it looked and felt watching it. But mistakes. Going in, getting ready to put the game away at halftime. Fumble going in, and I give Missouri credit for fighting back and staying in it. But, you know, Kentucky didn't play their clean game. I actually think Kentucky's quite a bit better than Missouri. I think they have some ability to make you pay for loading the box against their run game. They ran the football well. Levis is playing well. Wondell Moore is a big-time talent. They need more out of Ali, and, of course, he's had some off-the-field issues too. They need more from him on and off the field. They need a second receiver to emerge if they're going to have a chance against the bigger boys. But they're clearly the third-best team in the East, and I would say they're closer to two than the four. That's how I see it. But they got to play a cleaner game. I mean, that game against Missouri, again, should have been a more decisive win. And with an unclean game, with the turnovers and mistakes, that'll get you beat against one of the top two big boys and maybe, you know, significantly. But you play a clean game and you take advantage with the quarterback. Will Levis is playing very well. I like what they've done. I like their scheme, like their defense, like their offensive line. they're multifaceted. Just got to clean some things up, and we'll see where it takes them.
Arkansas's performance against Texas, Chris, your thoughts?
Well, they're just better than I thought they would be. I thought their schedule, and I thought they'll be good, but their schedule wouldn't reflect it. Yeah, we can overreact a little bit. Maybe Texas wasn't as good as we thought. This team plays so well at the line of scrimmage, Arkansas. They offensively, defensively, I thought the most impressive thing was the defense. Bijan Robinson is one heck of a back. They corralled him. I thought they did a good job up front. They pressured Hudson Card, confused him a lot. It was a great defensive effort. Just a phenomenal job. Offensively, I mentioned a little bit earlier when we talked about Anthony Richardson, just employing the quarterback in the run game is really, Jefferson's really talented. Now, I don't think they have enough in the passing game. I think they've got maybe as good a receiver as there is in the conference, but they don't have enough in the passing game and the timing and the rhythm. I'm curious to see what they're able to do and progress there. I think next week, the Arkansas A&M game may be the game we thought we might get with Arkansas and Texas. That is huge in a game that, quite frankly, I'm not quite sure where I'm going with that right now as we were a week out. But that game is going to tell us an awful lot because I think Arkansas is better than I thought. And A&M has got to work through getting Calzada more prepared. And what they do against New Mexico, how they do it this week against New Mexico is probably going to determine a lot about what type of game plan they can put forth against Arkansas.
Jordan up in West Lafayette, Indiana, says, Bill, ask Chris about the Cincinnati-IU game.
I think Cincinnati's the better team. Right now, Indiana is very limited in the passing game. And I think, you know, obviously the health of the quarterback has been an issue. And in order for that offense to click, Penix has to really be involved in the run game. And if he's not, they're really got one hand tied behind their back. I think Cincinnati's actually a better team here, certainly going into this game, what I've seen thus far. So, and this is, listen, it's big for both. It's, by the way, it's a good call there because that's one of my, I preview all the games by conference, every one of them. But I do like four feature games, and that's one of them because of Cincinnati. And I think what this could mean for them, and no, I don't think running the table puts them in the playoffs in my view, but that team's really good. It's got some room on it, and I think they match up against Cincinnati, against Indiana pretty well. And then, of course, the Notre Dame game, it would set that up as a really big game there for a lot of reasons with the Brian Kelly and the Notre Dame not playing that well and Cincinnati, you know, that's going to be a big, big feature game coming up.
Chris, that's where I was going to go. Notre Dame through two games, offensive line has been atrocious. Defense is getting pushed around, even right at them in the running game. Only thing they seem to do well is if they can protect Jack Cohn, the passing game looks better, but everything else looks a mess right now for them. I was talking earlier, not that I care about the rankings. I don't know how they're ranked right now.
Yeah, I know somebody's asking about rankings and, you know, like, well, do you think this team is top five or top ten? I'm like, if you want a top five, if you want a top ten, there's probably only about four teams that belong in the top ten. If you're going to have a top ten, you've got to put somebody in it. I mean, like, what, you know, you can say, yeah, six through ten really are not top ten, but if you're going to have to fill in a slot, look, you hit it. First of all, the receiver, the passing game has improved. The route concepts and getting open off the line of scrimmage and into the route's been good. Got to have a clean pocket for Jack Cohn. Offensive Cohn, the offensive line is not played well. Injuries are part of it, but and I think that'll get better, but they are not playing well. And there are significant breakdowns. It's limited what they can do protection-wise. It's why they went ahead and put in the young kid, and let's run around, do some RPOs. That's really creative. Find a way to get it done, and they have to do that against Toledo to some degree. Defensively, the biggest thing I see is they're giving up big plays. You know, overall, they've done a pretty good job containing people, except for the big plays. They've given up more explosive plays. In two games, than they did in all of last year. You know, and that is explosive plays, pass plays of 20 yards or more, run plays of 10 yards or more. They've given up tons of plays, Florida State and even against Toledo. So that's the biggest thing that jumps out. If I had to nail it down, explosive plays given up on defense and offensive line plays. The other thing to keep in mind, though, about the defense, Marcus Freeman is running some different things. And so that explains some of the explosive plays given up. I think you will see going forward, once they're able to settle in this year, and it's usually the second year. If you look at what he was at Cincinnati, that first year they gave up a ton of explosive plays at University of Cincinnati, the first year Marcus was running the defense. I think that's going to settle down. It needs to settle down this year if it's not going to cost them a game or two. But I think they'll be fine. The offensive line, they've had a history of teaching it, developing it, but they've got to get some continuity there together, and they're not quite as strong there as they've been, and that's been a strength. It's funny how that is, right? You get a little bit better at one spot and the other spot. That's football. That's coaching. That's what makes us pull our hair out as coaches.
Chris, down to just a few minutes, maybe a minute or so. So quickly on this one. No names, please. This is the name on Twitter. Says, ask Chris, and this guy is a big North Texas guy, is Seth Luttrell done at North Texas?
I think it's trending that way. And listen, I think at the end of this year, there's a good chance if things don't significantly improve that he is. Yes.
I think Chris, tell everybody trending. How they can get all of your content.
LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. You can get all the podcasts, all the, you know, the video cast on Twitch. And obviously I think the most important thing that we got going on is the breakdowns of the game. We take every game, we break it down, preview it for you. We call it Scouts Film Room Game Previews. And then on Monday and Tuesday, we break down all the games. Why things happen in the game. We break it down for you. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you're a fan of, we've got it for you. So check it out. Take advantage of the football season sale.
Good stuff, Chris. We'll see you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
There he is. Always just a phenomenal football resource. Mr. Chris Landry.